Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Listen with us today as Pastor Scott preaches to his congregation and invites you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to him. Amen.
So as we look at this tonight, let's focus on what Paul has to say to us. Starting in verse 24 of chapter 1, "Now I rejoice in my suffering for you, and I am completing in my flesh what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for his body, that is, the church. I have become a servant according to God's administration that was given to me for you to make God's message fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations is now revealed to his saints. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me in person. I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may all have the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery in Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him." So Paul starts out this explanation of his ministry towards us, and he tells us in the first couple of verses, 24 and following, "Now I rejoice in my suffering for you, and am completing in my flesh what is lacking in Christ's affliction for his body, that is, the church." That verse can be easily misunderstood, as though Paul is somehow completing what Jesus did on the cross on our behalf. But that's not what Paul is actually saying. Paul was experiencing the persecution intended for Christ. In spite of his death on the cross, Christ's enemies had not gotten their fill of inflicting injury on him. So they turned their hatred to those who were preaching the gospel. Paul suffered seriously for the gospel. When he came to Christ in Acts chapter 9, verse 16, Jesus told Ananias, who he sent to see Paul after Paul had gotten knocked off his horse and went blind, he told Ananias, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." And Paul did suffer for the name of Christ. He suffered for the name of Christ, and he tells us about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. "Five times I received 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned by my enemies. Three times I was shipwrecked, and I spent a night and a day in the open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers from the city, dangers in the open country, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brothers." Paul was faithful, but he certainly knew what it was to suffer for Christ and to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to make it known to the Gentiles, and to make it known to the entire world. Because the gospels that and the message that Paul preached, we have in printed form. He gave it to the people he wrote to initially, but it came down to us as God's word. We're grateful to recognize what God has done. Paul tells us in verse 25 of chapter 1, "I have become a servant according to God's administration that was given to me for you to make God's message fully known." Paul wrote us the doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus opened the doors of heaven to us by dying on the cross and paying the penalty for our sin. But he teaches us through the apostles and the prophets. Paul wrote the book of Romans, which is probably the most complete book of theology in the New Testament. Exactly what the church is supposed to be, how we're supposed to act, and how we are supposed to respond to what the Lord has to teach us. We are Christ's body. We are Christ's church. And we talked about this last week when we were talking about the ecclesia of the body of Christ, the gathering of the body of Christ. Paul was a servant that suffered greatly to make sure that we had the opportunity to understand God's word and to recognize what the church is supposed to be, how the church is supposed to act. Most of the books of the New Testament were written to address problems in the body of Christ. Different church groups, different environments, but almost every one of them to address problems with the church. Paul did that boldly. Ephesians is actually one of the two books that he wrote that really are written primarily as books of encouragement, books to strengthen us, books to encourage us, not to chide us. He really wants to share the truth of the word and what we have in Christ as believers in Christ. And I believe that most Christians do not understand the incredible value of what they have in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We came to Christ, we believed in him, and for many of us, that's where we stopped. We thought, well, we got this now. We got this figured out, and thankfully, the Lord saved us, but we did not understand the depth of what he had for us, continues to enable us to have. So Paul wants to tell us and encourage us because his intention is to reveal to us the message of the gospel and make it fully known in our lives. He wanted it to be fully known in the world, but in our own personal lives, he wanted it to be fully known and understood. So he tells us in Colossians, the word mystery here is used three times in this passage of scripture. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. The mystery of the gospel was hidden. The Jewish Pharisees in Jesus' day did not know the mystery of the gospel. They knew the Old Testament. They didn't know what the mystery of the gospel really was. And Paul tells us the mystery of the gospel is Christ in us, the hope of glory. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that because the mystery includes also the fact that the Gentiles are going to understand and be able to experience the gospel. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery. The Jewish people of the Old Testament, and even in Jesus' day, believed that they were the chosen people. And it didn't really seem relevant to them or real to them that God had actually even told Abraham back in Genesis that Abraham would be the father of many nations, not just the Jewish nation, many nations, and that he would be the father of many sons, many believers. But that seemed to be such a far-fetched idea in the Jewish mind that they did not accept the idea that the Gentiles could actually become children of God, could actually become those who believed and had faith in him. So Paul's message was to be the, first of all, his position was, his place was to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And his ministry was to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul wants to make it known to us clearly that our relationship with Christ isn't just so that we will come to know him and have a place in heaven when we die, that we can have eternal life. Yes, that's a powerful part of the message of the gospel. We live for that day. We want to see that day. We want to hear that trumpet blast. We want to go to be with the Lord forever. But that's not the only thing that he's telling us. That's not the only thing he's saying to us. In Ephesians chapter 3, he tells us in verse 7 and following, the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, partners of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I was made a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of the Messiah and shed light upon the administration of this mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Here we see that word again, that word mystery, hidden for a season, not hidden forever. And it was presented after Christ died, after he was resurrected, after he ascended to heaven, so that that mystery would be shared with us, the gospel would be shared with us, and we would understand the mystery of the gospel, Christ in us, the hope of glory. But then in Ephesians, he says also the incalculable riches that are available to us in Christ. Everybody should memorize the book of Ephesians, because the book of Ephesians tells us many, many of the incredible blessings that God has poured out upon us through Christ, made available to us in Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit, seated at the right hand of the Father. Incredible blessings, incredible positions that we have in Christ. And it's amazing to me, Paul makes all of these known to us, and yet we don't know most of them because we don't spend time in His Word, we don't spend time studying His Word, and we don't spend time reflecting on what God has actually prepared for us and given to us. It would change the way we live our life, to know Him and to acknowledge what He has done for us and given to us. Philippians tells us something very similar. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Paul reflects on his own life. Paul was a Pharisee. He was a Jewish man who believed that he had to complete the whole law, that he had to live the law, that he had to punish the church because the church was completely contrary to the Jewish law and to the way that the Pharisees believed. Not contrary to Christ, but contrary to them. But Paul considers this, everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. What's God's desire for us? To be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ? What's God's desire for us? To understand the surpassing greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's prepared for us and given to us and made available to us. It's incredible to think and to study through His Word and see what He has given to us. The wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we look at the word hope, oftentimes we think it is a wish. It's something that we desire to have and we hope we're going to accomplish it. We hope we're going to get it. It can be a material thing. It can be a position. It can be a job. It can be a place for us to live. It can be a lot of different things that we hope for, that many of which we never actually ever get. That's really what the world puts before us with advertising. You can have this if you do it right. You can get this if you do it right. If you invest your money right, you can get rich. All of these different things that the world offers to us and we hope for, but we don't ever attain. But here in this passage of Scripture, which is Jesus in you, the hope of glory, this passage tells us that Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope. If He is genuinely in you, if you have known Him as Lord and Savior, He is in you, He is your hope and your guarantee of a relationship with Him that will take us into eternity. Jesus is our hope and our glory, because regardless of what we ever attain in this world, He is our hope. He is the one who gives us place in eternity. That's why Paul tells us in verse 25, 26, we proclaim Him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That we may present everyone mature in Christ. Jesus told us in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Paul went to the then known world to disciple people in their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why he wrote these books. That's why we have these books. And that's why the ministry of the gospel is so important to us. Paul wanted everyone to come to a place of being a mature, grounded, believer in Jesus Christ, to have an understanding of His Word, to have a relationship with Him that would sustain us and keep us strong, that would make it possible for us to stand against the things in the world that actually want to tear us down. We proclaim Him and warning and teaching everyone. When Paul says warning everyone, he's talking primarily about telling people about Christ, because everybody needs a relationship with Him if they ever expect to have a place in heaven. Everyone needs that relationship, and at the same time, he's warning us about things that are bad for our life, things that are going to tear us down, things that are going to destroy us, things that are going to lead us astray, things that are going to discourage us, not encourage us, not strengthen us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, but He wants to present everyone mature in Christ. Now, Paul goes to great lengths in Philippians chapter 3, and we're not going to read the whole chapter, but his goal is for himself to be mature in Christ. Even though he wrote all these books, he doesn't consider himself at that point to be mature. And we won't be completely mature in Christ until we're actually standing in front of Him. When we see Him, we will be like Him, and we will know Him as He is. But in the meantime, we are to strive to grow, strive to reach out to Him, strive to be knowledgeable concerning Him and what His Word tells us and how to live this Christian life in every aspect, in every day of our life, in every moment of every day, honestly, because He wants us to recognize the relationship that we have with Him, the relationship that we have to them that presents us mature in Christ. Paul says, I labor for this and striving with His strength that works powerfully in me. Paul recognized all of the years that he was a believer from the time that he met Christ on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9 until he was beheaded in Rome under Nero. He recognized all of that time that he needed the strength of Christ to be able to live his life and do the ministry that God had given him. That is not written here just for information. It's written here for us because we need to recognize that we cannot, and I'm going to say this emphatically, we cannot live this Christian life without Christ's strength, without His power, without His ability working in us. His strength that works powerfully in me. We cannot do it. And if we think we can, we will find ourselves running into an obstacle that we can't get over, that we can't win over, that we can't be above. It's His power, His strength in us that enables us to grow and be strong in our relationship with Him. If we're not in that place, then we will find ourselves struggling, going backwards, finding ourselves back in the same problems we had before, because that's our go-to. That's our go-to. Our old life is our go-to. Unless we focus on Jesus Christ in our life, we will find ourselves going back to the same lifestyle that we had, because it's not Christ-centered. We're doing it in our strength, trying in our strength to accomplish what only God can do in His strength. That I can't emphasize that enough. If we try in our own strength to be successful in this Christian walk, we will fail. But if we go at this Christian life in the strength of Christ and allow Him to work powerfully in us, then He will succeed in us to bring about the life change He wants to bring about. Paul, in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, for those in Laodicea, for all those who have not seen me in person." Paul never went to Colossae. I said that last week, but for emphasis' sake, Paul never met the people in Colossae, the city of Colossae. And yet, he wrote this book to them as an encouragement to strengthen them, to help them understand and grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ, because he knows how important it is. He knew exactly how important it was. People cannot succeed without knowing about Christ and how to live in Him. "And all those who have not seen my face, I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery in Christ. Paul repeats himself again. He said, I want them to be encouraged and joined together in love. We have the desire to love people, desire for every person on the planet, whether they're a Christian or not. They want to experience love. But when Paul's talking about love here, he's talking about a love that only comes from God. It's called agape love. It's the love that only God can produce in us through His Spirit because we know Him and we have a relationship with Him, and now we're alive to Him in Christ. I want you to love each other, and I want you to grow in your relationship with Him. Encourage and join together in love so that they may all have the riches of assured understanding. The book of Ephesians is an amazing book, and I said I think everybody should memorize that book. But one of the things that Ephesians tells us is about the assurance that we should have in Christ, the knowledge that we should have in our relationship with Christ that anchors us in our Christian life, that puts our roots down in a relationship with Him, that enables us to be strong, enables us to withstand the temptations of the devil, enables us to stand in the face of opposition, enables us to stand in the face of problems, daily problems that we have in our life, things that we can't quite overcome. Yet He wants us to be able to be assured in the knowledge of His Word that tells us how we can be solid in our Christian life, how we can be strong in our Christian life, how we can actually know the work that He's doing in us, have a knowledge of God's mystery in Christ. It is the greatest study that you can do, to study about Jesus and what He has done in your life, what He does for your life, to enable you to be solid, strong, and able to continue to grow in that relationship with Him, to face the problems of life. God wants us to understand that the problems in our life are there for the purpose of teaching us, conforming us, and educating us in our relationship with God through Christ. He wants us to experience that. We can never simply sit back and wait for God to do something miraculous in our life to bring about change without experiencing the difficulty that life offers us. The difficulty that He offers us is the opportunity for us to grow, the opportunity for us to learn patience, to learn proven character, to understand His desire for us, to grow us up in Him, because it's all facing, pointing towards the very same thing, which is to conform us to the image of His Son, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. It's not easy. It was never intended to be easy. It was always intended for us to have to come back to the Father and say, I need your help. Come back to Jesus. It's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Come boldly to the throne of grace, where you will receive mercy and grace to help us at the proper time. He's there, He's available, and He's always willing to come to our aid. He wants us to grow in our relationship with Him, and He wants us to recognize the last thing we're going to talk about. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him, Jesus. And every one of those treasures of wisdom and knowledge are available to us. Every one of the things that God has for us in His Word are available to us. Every one of them are hidden in Him. And God gives wisdom, and God gives knowledge. But the Bible is like a treasure trove of knowledge that we have to dig out. We have to search for it as for gold and silver and precious stones. We need to study it out of the Word. We need to look at the meaning of the Word, look at the promise that's there for us at the time that we need to hear what God has to say. Because He desires for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Himself. He desires for us to do exactly what Paul says right here in this last phrase, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. And the word hidden means that they're not laying on the surface. They're hidden, so we need to dig for them. We need to dig them out. We need to search for them. We need to look deeply into the Word and see how that applies to my life. It doesn't secure me in my faith because my faith is already secure in Christ. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, according to Ephesians chapter 1. But at the same time, if I don't understand the Word, I get blown around by every wind of doctrine. I get blown around by everything that can deceive me. The world itself will break us down, and it will destroy us. But He wants us to grow in Him, and He's given us everything we need for life and godliness, and for us to be anchored deeply in this relationship with Him.
Colossians 1:24-2:3 speaks of Paul's deep commitment to the gospel, his joy in suffering for the sake of Christ, and his desire to see believers strengthened in wisdom and understanding. As we reflect on this passage, we are reminded of the immeasurable joy found in serving Christ, even in suffering. Paul's dedication to revealing the mystery of Christ encourages us to pursue wisdom, to be mature in Christ, and to stand firm in the faith. May we embrace the riches of full assurance in Christ, knowing that in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let this truth shape our hearts and guide our steps as we continue to grow in Him. Spend time with God every day in His Word, our anchor in a world seeking to toss us overboard. We would also like to invite you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure that more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection. Amen.